Welcome to Fresh Takes on Tech. I'm your host, Bonnie Estes, Vice President of Innovation for the International Fresh Produce Association. On the podcast, we get to hear from people that are shaping the produce industry with solutions to our biggest problems. Join me as we uncover the opportunities and advancements shaping the future of produce through a tech lens. Welcome to Fresh Takes on Tech, where insight meets innovation. Hello, and welcome to the show. We are continuing with our Climate Smart Agriculture series. Last week, we talked to Max Teplitsky and Drew Zabrocki about the Climate Smart Ag Commodities Grant that the International Fresh Produce Association is participating in. Tune into that episode to get more information about the overall program. Today, we are talking to a company that is very integrated in the Vibrant Future Project, Measure to Improve. We have three great guests. We'll speak with Nikki Cazio, founder and CEO, Kyle Cosgrove, Director of Agronomic Services, and Gabe Worthington, Sustainability Program Manager. Measure to Improve is a partner with IFPA on the Climate Smart Commodities Grant. Hi, Nikki, Kyle, and Gabe. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. All right. Nikki, let's start with you. In looking at your website, it claims that Measure to Improve is your in-house sustainability department. Talk a little more about what Measure to Improve does and how the company is involved with the grant.
So, Bonnie, thank you. To answer these questions, I'd like to take a moment to introduce ourselves. So, as you said, as you introduced me, my name is Nikki Cosgrove. I'm the CEO and founder of Measure to Improve. I come from a fourth generation California farming family. I've been born and raised in this industry, and I spent many summers tagging tomato trailers and working in packing sheds and driving loads of produce and working weekends. And it wasn't until 2007 that I came back to the family business. My family business is a vertically integrated farming and processing operation. Gill's Onions, one of the nation's largest farming operations, and Rio Farms, the sister company, is one of the largest onion growers that supplies the onions to the processing facility, but grows many more things. When I joined the company in 2007, I didn't really have a job description, but sustainability came up early on. In fact, it was one of my first meetings that I had. And I happened to be sitting next to my dad, who was the owner of the company. And I said, "What does sustainability even mean?" And he said, "I don't know. Why don't you go figure it out?" Long story short, I took that as my marching orders and took the initiative to create a sustainability program, starting with the processing operation and eventually moved on to the farming operation. I was a sustainability department of one, and for 7 years, I grew that program. And in 2014, I ventured off to serve a larger audience. At that time, retailers were very interested in our story. And peers within the industry were asking how and where to begin a sustainability program. So I saw the opportunity to help the industry take a proactive approach to sustainability. I knew this was more than a fad. I saw what happened with food safety. I also saw the long-term value and benefit a sustainability program could bring to an organization through my 7 years' experience. And more importantly, I wanted to make sustainability approachable for the growers that are already so busy and helping them navigate their way through. So April 10th marks 10 years in business. And over the past 10 years, over the past 10 years, I've built a company that is committed to helping the produce industry, which includes growers, shippers, processors, and distributors, collect and report and respond to these requests. And Measure to Improve includes a team of experts in sustainability on a variety of topics like packaging, waste, water, energy, greenhouse gas emissions, and strategy. And back in 2014, I considered myself an expert, and now I'm a generalist. There's too many complex topics for one person to be an expert in. So, Bonnie, to come back to your question, And to our claim of measure to improve as your in-house sustainability experts, when we work with a company, we position ourselves as your in-house sustainability department, because most organizations lack a dedicated individual or a department focused on sustainability. And many companies have established departments for food safety, human resources, HR, and sustainability is notably absent. However, it's becoming the cost of doing business. But that's okay, because that's where we come into the picture. And when we work with clients, we serve as their temporary or permanent sustainability department. And when we come into a company, we help companies leverage their existing resources to create what we call a green team. And a green team is a group of people made up of staff members from a variety of departments that can lend information or contribute to whatever sustainability topic you're working on. And so our role is really to empower, engage, and educate our clients along the way so they can pick up where we leave off and build this culture of sustainability that takes every department to be successful. Everybody has a role to play. So when you work with Measure to Improve, you're not only working with a manager of a project, but behind every manager is a team of experts to support each project.
Excellent. Thank you. I love that story. I love that you came from the industry and this, your company and your expertise kind of grew organically. I think we met in 2017 or 2018. I can't remember, but just even since then, watching how your company has grown, because the need in the industry has really grown. You know, people are really much more interested in sustainability. So thanks for all that background. And I love watching what the company is doing for the industry. So Kyle, let's switch to you. Can you provide an overview of Climate Smart Agriculture along with the Climate Smart Commodities Grant Project, A Vibrant Future, and its objectives? When we were talking earlier on our call before the podcast, and I kind of dismissed giving a definition of Climate Smart Ag, and you guys all set me straight saying, no, we really need to do this. So I really appreciate that we're really going to help people kind of understand what that is, and it falls on you to do that. So go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Bonnie. I thought that background might be important, just because as we've gone out and introduced this program to growers, these terms are very new to them and to us as well. So we had to do our background research also to figure out where this came from. And, you know, what we found was that the term climate smart agriculture was sort of originated by the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations. And all it did was basically propose that certain agricultural practices could help growers improve agroecological functions and help their systems be more resilient to climate change. So practices such as crop rotation, composting, cover cropping, reduced tillage, nutrient and water management, just to name a few, is what we're talking about. So the USDA adopted this term climate smart agriculture, and the NRCS is defining, the Natural Resource Conservation Services has defined these practices under conservation practices. So our program comes from the USDA. It's a grant program called Partnerships for Climate Smart Commodities, and it provided about $3 billion of U.S. funding to 141 projects across the country. So we are one of those projects, again, Vibrant Future, and we're focusing on specialty crops, whereas other projects might focus on the timber industry, agroforestry, or rangeland or grazing land. We're focused on fruits, nuts, and vegetables. We're recruiting about 80 West Coast growers and 20 growers in the southern Mississippi Delta who want to carry out field trials implementing conservation practices. So we'll incentivize these growers to carry out a four-year trial where we will measure soil carbon sequestration and greenhouse gas emissions. And our hope is to increase the adoption of these climate smart practices and help promote climate smart commodities across domestic and international markets.
Excellent. So what you mentioned a few of the practices, but talk a little bit more about some of the key climate smart production practices that we're trying to encourage in specialty crops.
Yeah, so we have a range of practices to select from. Growers can choose one or multiple practices. Again, things like cover cropping, soil amendments such as compost, mulching or biological amendments. Crop rotation is a practice they can choose. Residue and tillage management, nutrient management, and water management. There's a whole list of water management practices that they can also choose from. So the idea is that we'll incentivize them to implement these practices. We're going to, per year, we'll cover the direct cost of materials and labor up to a $5,000 incentive for participation. So, yeah, the key practices are just basic good farming practices, and that's what we want to encourage.
So can you share some of the examples of the practices that have been, that have shown some promising results and gained traction so far?
Yeah, just a little disclaimer, you know, every system will be different. Every field will be different. Every year will be different. So how these practices affect a farmer or a grower from year to year will change. And, you know, we're relying on the farmer to select these practices and know how they fit into their systems. But these are very just basic and traditional farming practices. So things like cover cropping, it's been widely adopted across multiple cropping systems. And, you know, it's shown its ability to increase water infiltration, control erosion, fix nitrogen into your soil, break up soil compaction layers, recycle subsurface nutrients. Reduced tillage or no-till systems have been showing the benefits to soil health metrics, increasing organic matter content, increasing nutrient availability and cycling, its benefits to water quality and infiltration, reducing compaction, and then the potential cost savings to growers. You know, less passes could mean more money or less costs and, you know, helping your bottom line. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's also like crop rotation, its ability to interrupt pest life cycles, maintain soil health, recycle essential plant nutrients. So yeah, I just want to, you know, point out these practices aren't new or necessarily like innovative, but we still have a lot to learn about their impacts in different settings and across different cropping systems. So this program is an opportunity to do just that, take these incentives and use them in an innovative and fresh way. So
how do you think the incentives offered to the growers are going to help? Because like you said, a lot of these practices people are already doing, but maybe they're not measuring, or maybe they want to do it, but they haven't done it. So how are these incentives going to get people to do things that they weren't doing before?
So it's definitely the monetary incentive, but like you said, we're also providing these technical assistance to measure, to document what's going on. So in the past where a grower might have just anecdotal evidence of like, oh yeah, I think this is working, we can actually come in and collect data on the trial. So we're providing, yeah, not only the monetary, but also the technical assistance, hoping that they will, that growers will want to try something maybe new, just tweak something a little bit, and they don't have to take all the risk on themselves and on their operation. So we're trying to bring communities together to share best practices. We can help develop strategies to address challenges that growers might be facing. We can track these outcomes over time, and we can look back after 5 years and we can see what worked or what didn't work. So that's going to be a valuable resource at the end of this for growers.
Yeah.
Public information as well. So,
oh, that'd be great. So people can see that and see what worked and what didn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, we want to, you know, not go too far outside the box. You know, we've been advising growers to do something that they know is going to work, but maybe to tweak it a little bit. Tweak their timing or their material or their rate, or they could explore something new, you know, if they wanted. People are bringing in grazing animals to reduce their tillage sometimes. So that's something that some of our participants are looking at, changing the species of their cover crops for different purposes, looking at different rates of fertilizers, different combinations of fertilizers. So, yeah. And then again, just looking at this over the course of time, you know, across so many different settings, it'll just provide some really valuable insights into these practices for everybody.
So with the incentives, I know with a lot of these different practices, the risk has gone to the grower. And if it doesn't work, the grower is the one that spent the time and tried something and possibly lost a crop. How are they paid and how do the incentives work that kind of takes some of that risk off the grower?
So on a yearly basis, we'll cover the cost up to $10,000 for materials and labor. So plus this $5,000 incentive. So they can just figure that into like a normal farming budget. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not going to spread $15,000 across 100 acres necessarily, but they could spread that across 20 acres. And maybe that's 20 acres that is a poor soil area and they're having trouble getting production out of that area in general. And maybe that is not making money in that area. So they might use that money to see if they can amend that soil in that mm-hmm. area. And then they're not taking it on themselves to, you know, provide all the funding for that.
Yeah, so, that's what I love about the program is because I just think that so many times we just are expecting growers to take on the risk of all this stuff. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, they're expected to fix all the problems
with
the limited budgets that they have.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have had a lot of growers come to us, say things like, oh yeah, I have this problematic area in my field. It's about 10 acres or it's about 20 acres. I think this project would be perfect for that to apply a high rate of compost along with gypsum and then come up with a strategic nutrient management plan to address whatever issues they're seeing in the soils, whether it's nutrient deficiencies or toxicities or pH levels that need to be adjusted. They are using this program to solve problems. And then what we're telling them is that, hey, if this works, you know, you can scale this. You can apply it across your ranch on 100 acres, on 200 acres, on 1,000 acres, on 10,000 acres. So that's kind of how we've seen growers think about it and how we've been advising them as well. Like, make sure this is scalable, that it's real world, that it fits within a normal farming budget. So don't just take $15,000 and throw it all at one thing, you know, spread it out over a couple things and address something in your operation. So.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, Gabe, we have a bunch of data questions for you. So awesome. Get ready. So could you talk more about the importance of measuring the inputs and the outputs and the yields in the context of climate smart agriculture?
Yeah, absolutely. Really, really important to accurately measure inputs, outputs, and yields in order to understand if these practices are actually feasible for specialty crop growers. In order to do so, we've identified some metrics and we're collecting data that can measure the effect of these practices throughout the duration of our trial. Additionally, it's also very important to capture detail around the practices that they're implementing on this field so we can adapt the practice as the grower learns more about how this practice may fit in their operation or as conditions may change. These growers should be able to identify and realize a return on investment to their operation by implementing these practices on their land and then be able to identify the broader positive effects that these practices have on the agroecological system.
So what data are you gathering and then how are you using the data?
Yeah, so we are gathering soil samples in year one as a baseline prior to the practice being implemented. And then 4 years after the trial has been implemented, we'll return to the same land and collect another sample to measure the effect that the practice had on the land. So we'll be looking at some data related to soil carbon sequestration through some soil health tests as well as spectral imagery. Looking at some metrics such as soil respiration and active carbon in the soil. And we'll also be looking at some greenhouse gas emission data that will be analyzed by our partners via satellite imagery artificial intelligence models and some infield experiments.
That's so cool to use all that technology. So how do you plan to ensure that the credibility and accuracy of the data collected through these tracking systems? Like, how do we know that it's measuring the right things and analyzing in the right way?
Right. Yeah. So we plan to be super consistent with the metrics that we're collecting and the protocols that we're using to collect this data. We're following traditional soil sampling protocols to collect our soil samples, and we're working with a well-respected soil lab to analyze these samples. Additionally, we'll be relying heavily on our partners and their abilities to analyze these robust data sets and develop some predictive models through artificial intelligence. On top of the traditional data collection methods that we're going to be using with soil sampling and the greenhouse gas emissions, we'll also be testing some new technologies, both in the field and via satellite imagery, and kind of comparing the results from these two data collection methodologies.
So what role do you see technology playing in advancing climate smart agriculture practices and monitoring systems? So a lot of what you're depending on here is technology and new technology.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think technology will play a huge role in advancing climate smart agriculture. We've actually partnered with University of Florida and Alcorn State in Mississippi, as well as several app software solution providers to bring in some new monitoring and analyzing technologies. We want to ground truth with our traditional sampling methods. I mean, the idea behind this is we want to test these technologies to see if they can become useful cost-saving tools that can potentially reduce the need to use these traditional sampling methods.
Great. Thanks, Gabe. Keep at it. Mm-hmm. So, Nikki, finishing up, I have a few final questions for you. So in what ways do you foresee consumer demand influencing the market for fruits and vegetables grown using climate smart methods? How's this going to pull through?
Thank you. I think consumers are going to play a crucial role in shaping the climate smart practices as we move forward. And we as an industry have an opportunity to meet that demand, but that means being able to tell our story. So part of the grant includes marketing and education, and it's really a two-pronged approach. The first is helping growers understand how to market and communicate climate-smart produced products, arming them with the tools and the know-how, how to tell their stories and about the great things that they're doing in this space. And the second one is educating and education. And we know that consumers really don't understand what climate smart means. We all have a hard time pinpointing that definition or coalescing on a definition. And I see as consumers become more aware of environmental issues, climate smart produce will be more appealing, arming them with the knowledge and understanding so that they can make informed decisions. So ultimately, growers will be able to receive premium pricing overall for their investment.
Excellent. So looking ahead, what are the steps for Measure to Improve and its collaboration with IFPA in promoting climate smart agriculture?
So I think over the next couple of years, we have an opportunity. We're all going to learn so much. I see us collectively continue to be able to share our lessons learned, the best practices, the metrics, how to communicate success, and as Kyle said, in a very consistent manner. So I look forward to sharing the lessons learned through this podcast and other areas to provide relevant and timely updates as we go.
That's it for today's episode of Fresh Takes on Tech. This material is based upon work supported by the U.S. Department of Agriculture under the Climate Smart Commodities Grant. The USDA is an equal opportunity provider, employer, and lender. See you next time.
Bayer supports fruit growing and horticulture growers with their wide range of offerings from seeds to crop protection products and digital solutions, empowering growers to produce healthy crops and high quality, abundant yields. You can learn more about their complete portfolio at cropscience.bayer.us.